I want to ask you a question. Sunday morning, you're in church. Are you full of Jesus? Right now, this moment, are you full of Jesus? The Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We are in the middle of a summer season where the pastor is preaching 9 sermons about summer fruit. We've moved through the first month and coming now this morning to a message that I've entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. Are you filled with the Spirit? We are in Romans chapter 7 and we begin reading in verse 1 and read through verse number 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Or do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law. That's who I'm talking to. I'm talking to people that know their Bible today. Do you not know, those of you that know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives? For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he is living. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law concerning the husband. So then, if while her husband is living, she is joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law. That's a good place to say amen right there. But we've been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, most of the time when we think of the fruit of the Spirit, we run immediately, pell-mell, as fast as we can go, we run to Galatians 5, verses 22 and 23, where the Bible says to us that the fruit of the Spirit is, let's just read them out loud all together, 9 of them. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. Against such things there is no law. Why? You've been set free from the law. You're not bound to the law, but now you live in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, notice in that text, the fruit of the what? Spirit. And immediately we start thinking about kindness and self-control and love. And all 9 of those forget the manifestation. Just forget it. This morning, I want you to understand and hone in with me. The fruit is of the Spirit. And friend, if you get full of Jesus, those manifestations will take care of themselves. If you'll come to be full of the Spirit of Jesus, I'm telling you, you'll have love and you'll have self-control. You'll have patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and joy and peace. All of those things will come. But what we do is we jump over the Spirit to say, now let's make these things happen, when what we need to be doing is concentrating on the fullness of the Spirit, so that the manifestation is not something we conjure up of the flesh, but something that comes supernaturally from our inner being like a mighty rushing river from the inner man. Filled with the Spirit. You know, Jesus gives us some hard tasks, doesn't he? Here's some things he's told us. Love your enemies. How you doing with that? Be kind to those that hate you. How you faring? Be overcomers, conquerors, Romans 8:37. Give thanks in all things. Worry about how you doing. Some of you can't listen to me now for worrying about whatever it is you're worrying about now. Worry about nothing. Rejoice in the Lord always. Oh my. Always? Yes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Rejoice always. And be holy as Jesus is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. And you say, preacher, I can't do those things. You can't. Amen. You absolutely cannot. You see, the Christian life does not demand our best, but His best. The Christian life is not natural, but supernatural. The Christian life is not flesh, but spirit. That is exactly what Paul comes to conclude in Romans chapter 7, when he tells us that we are to bear fruit for God, that we might bear fruit for God. How in the world do we manifest fruit in our life? There's only one thing you need to be concerned about this morning, and that is, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And friend, let me tell you, if you get full of Jesus, those manifestations will come. They'll be there. You know why some church people mean is the devil? They're not full of Jesus. They're full of themselves. You know why some people don't have any peace? They're full of themselves. You know why they don't have any long suffering? They're full of themselves. But let me tell you, you get full of Jesus and you'll see Jesus manifested through your life. If you'll just begin to concentrate on being in love with Jesus. Now this morning, I want to show you three certificates that everybody in here needs. Three certificates that everybody in this room needs. I got stuff, junk, hanging on my walls and some other good things. I got diplomas that are there. I got a certificate of license, certificate of ordination. I got stuff hanging on my walls that I've been given for doing this or doing nothing. But there are three certificates that need to hang not on the walls of my office, but on the walls of my heart today. And I want to show you those three certificates that you need in your life and I need in mine. And if you've got these three certificates hanging on the walls of your heart, I'm telling you that you'll be full of Jesus and these manifestations will begin to come. Let's look at them. Number one, everybody in here needs, you need a marriage certificate. A marriage certificate. Not hanging on the wall of your office, but hanging on the wall of your heart. Now, Paul uses the illustration right here. Look at it now. I'm not saying you got to be married to be full of the Spirit. I'm telling you, if you are married, you better be full of the Spirit. I'm not talking about physical marriage now. I'm talking about what Romans 7 says. Look at it right here in this text. He says, brethren, in verse number 1, I'm speaking to people that know the law, and that the law has jurisdiction over a person. Long as you're alive, the law has jurisdiction over you. I drove yesterday from St. Simon's Island, north of Brunswick, Georgia, down to Jacksonville and hit I-10 and took the most boring drive in America from Jacks to Pensacola. And so I set my cruise control. And I said, Lord, I just want to live in grace right here. And I don't want to worry about it. I don't know when I'm going to get home, but, well, I saw people getting prizes all over I-10 yesterday. I mean, they're out. State of Florida's having a hard time balancing the budget. And one of the ways they're doing it, they're looking for you coming down I-10. Boy, I'd go by, I'd just wave, you know. And I'd see, boy, he's sitting in the woods. He's looking for you, and he's got that gun pointing. You know, if you just set your cruise control, you don't have to worry about that. That's right. If you set it right. But as long as you're alive, the law has jurisdiction over you. Amen. If you don't believe that, just jump out there today and head to Tallahassee and mark it up there about 90 or 95, and you'll meet somebody. And you'll get a prize when you get down through there. You see, the law has jurisdiction over you as long as you live. Same thing in verse number 2. A married woman's bound by the law. As long as she's alive, she's to stay married to her husband while he's living. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law concerning her husband. This lady has married one woman to one man for one life forever until he dies. The converse is true, too. You turn it over, and if the woman dies, a man, either one. But the illustration here that Paul's using is saying that when that man dies, then that woman is free. She may not want to marry again, but she's free to marry again. She doesn't have to marry again, but she's free to marry again. She's not under jurisdiction of the law. Now, just because that man dies, it doesn't mean that her heart's free. Takes a while and move through that. And then they remarry. He's using this illustration. Verse number 3. So then, if while her husband's living, she's joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Now see, if this guy's not dead, and then you have an affair, you're an adulteress. You're still under the jurisdiction of the law. And the law says, I'm talking about the Old Testament law, and the law says one man for one woman for one life, and you're to live that way. But when death comes to that man, she's free from the law. And she's not an adulteress, but she's joined to another. He uses all of that as an illustration. He's really not talking about family here. He's talking about spirit-filled life. Look in verse number 4. Therefore, my brethren, just remember that. One man for one woman until death. I say that every time a couple comes right down here and they get married. And I'll say, you're to have no other man, no other woman in your life until the death of your partner. Amen and amen, they'll say. Therefore, verse 4 says, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ. When Jesus died, you died. Why? So that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear the fruit of God. Now, here's what happens. We got folks, and they're living under the law, and they're living under legalism. I'm telling you, when Jesus died, the law died, and you're no longer under the law, but you're under grace, so that you're not tied to the law. But now verse 4 says, you are joined to another. You've been married to another. You've died to the old way, and you are alive to the new way. Getting saved is hanging a marriage certificate on the walls of your heart, and you commit yourself to Jesus as your life savior. And in this text, it is your life partner, where he likens salvation to being married. And here Jesus is the one you are united with and united to forever and ever and ever. You're never going to be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit until you are married to Jesus. You remember when you got married to your spouse, or you've been thinking about getting married? Boy, it starts with passion, doesn't it? I mean, great passion. But now watch what happens. If we're not careful, passion will move to neglect. You don't ever open the door anymore. You forget birthdays. You take for granted. Neglect gives birth to boredom. And boredom gives birth to departure. Departure is not divorce. You can be present and yet living in departure. You can be in the same room, but yet not be there. Passion gives way to neglect, and neglect gives way to boredom, and boredom will give way to departure, and finally departure will give way to death. I'm not talking about being married at your house. I'm talking about being married to Jesus. See, some of you got saved 20 and 30 years ago, and you were in love with Jesus, and there was great passion, but passion gave way to neglect. Neglect gave way to boredom. You come to church, you stand up and sit down, you know what's going to happen, and you just go through. Some of you even come to church, sleep through it. You talk about being bored. That's amazing to me. I understand there are physical problems, but I mean, just to stay up all night and then come just so you can check a box and say, I was there. You're just bored with God. I'm here to tell you, friend, your marriage is about to depart and there is no manifestation of the Holy Ghost in your life. You've moved from passion to neglect to boredom. Some of you sit in here week by week living in departure. Just going through the motion. As a matter of fact, there are some people that in this service, if I got up, read a scripture and talked 5 minutes before the offering and then prayed, some people would think it was over and would go out the door. They'd think it was a benediction. We had a guy in seminary that happened to one time. He went to class went to sleep during systematic theology. And a buddy of ours punched him, and he was asleep. And he said, the professor called on you to pray and dismiss class. And he stood up right in the middle of the lecture and prayed. Lord, help us as we depart from here to live for you. It was one of the greatest classes of seminary experience for me. Thank God I was not the one called on to pray. I'm telling you, the fruit of the Spirit comes when you've got a marriage certificate that is living in passion. What did Jesus say over in Revelation chapter 2 to that church at Ephesus? You have left your first love. You've left. You hadn't lost it, you left it. See, you lose something, you know where it is, but when you just say, oh yeah, I know where it is, well, go back and get it. You see, some of us need to go back to our passion and get it today and fall in love with Jesus all over again. It's only then that the manifestation of the Spirit of God begins to come. Some of you do you well to go back and fall in love with your spouse again. You're married and neglect and boredom and departure. So that never happened to me. Well, just hang in there, friend. You'll have to work at it if you stay around 25, 35, 45, 55, 65 years. I watch this in marriages. They take off from about the first 20 years. It's a great thing. And then when those kids leave, there's a dip. Because they've been so busy and have to work. But now, watch this. I watch people that have been married over 50 years, I see passion begin to rise again. It's phenomenal to me. I see old folks in the mall. I'm talking about people 75 and 80 years old holding hands walking down the mall. I mean, they've been married 65 years. I'll walk up to them, I'll just say, stop it. You know what that old man will look at? He said, listen, son, I'm old enough to do whatever I want to. That's what he'll tell you. And I'll see that renewed passion oftentimes come in the life. But in the busyness, there comes a boredom sometimes and a neglect. And then you have to work your way. And I just see that again and again. I thank God for it. But I'm telling you, we need it in the life of the church. We started out in passion. But we move to neglect, and all of a sudden we don't have our quiet time. We don't show up for visitation. We won't come back on Sunday night, and we don't pray, and we don't keep our time with God. And we just neglect the things of the Lord. And the pastor will call for a revival, and we'll have it on Sunday. And then Monday the crowd will go from 3,000 to 300. We say we love souls, but we just neglect it. The pastor will say, let's have friend day. We say, well, I'm for winning souls, but let the staff do that. You see, what happens is we just move into a boredom out of that neglect. And then we've departed. It's not that we've divorced. It's not that we say we don't love God anymore. It's just that there's no action. And we're just... we're asleep at the switch. And I'm telling you, there is no manifestation of the Spirit. There has to, number one, be a certificate of marriage. And I mean, when you are married, oh man, our newlywed newlywed class is just, I mean, we're going to have to get a larger room up here. I mean, they are just breaking out. They're in there right now at 9:30. These are young couples, just got married, about to get married. And I don't, all of a sudden, it just kind of goes up and down. But I mean, right now, it is just booming up there. They're young couples all over this church. You come in here for the next service, I'm telling you, they're a young couple after young couple after young couple, just got married, about to get married. And man, it's sickening. And you ought to see the way they do. They got their arm around each other, and they're hugged up, and they're holding hands. Where are we going to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to go, and where do you want to go? And I don't care, just wherever you want to go. Do you remember when you were like that with Jesus? Do you remember when he saved your soul, and you were so in love with him, and you just said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't care, just whatever's next. Lord, you just lead the way. I'll go anywhere. All of a sudden, we lose that, and we come into neglect and boredom and departure. And I'm telling you, we need to have some renewal of spiritual marriage vows within the church. It's only then that the manifestation of the Spirit comes. Number one, you need a marriage certificate. Number two, you need a death certificate. Death certificate? Yeah. Look at verse 6. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound. We were bound to the law, but we're dead to that. So we serve in what? The newness of the Spirit, not the oldness of the letter. There are four deaths that every Christian must die. Romans 6:11 says, in Christ we are dead to sin. Those things that you used to participate in, you're now dead to sin. Galatians 6:14 says, in Christ we are dead to the world. I don't mean that everything the world does, that you become monastic and you move into a monastery. That's not it. It's just saying the ways of the world, not a part of your life. Galatians 6:14 tells us you're dead to the world. Ephesians 2:16 says, in Christ you are dead to any partisan spirit. Now don't miss this. He says he has broken down the middle wall of partition between the free man, the slave, the Jew, and the Gentile, and any spirit that would be partisan, that would lead you to believe you are better spiritually than another, you must be dead to that. There's no place in the family of God for division. I'm telling you, what's killing America right now is division. Democrats and Republicans couldn't get together and decide to have a drink of water. It's God awful. They're going to kill this country arguing about their own re-election process. First thing that happens, you do it, I do it. They throw a man's picture up on the screen. What do you look for? You don't look for his face. All you look for is his name. And is there a D or an R in front of his name? That's what. And then you say, well, I know what he's going to say. No, you don't. And there's such partisanship within politics. But if you think it's bad there, you ought to come to church meeting. And Paul says we are dead to the partisan spirit. Methodist, Baptist. I was in St. Simon's Island, Epworth by the Sea. It's a Methodist camp. Man, I'm telling you, the Methodists must have a boatload of money. That's the greatest church camp I ever seen in my life. Flat screen, HD television in every hotel room. At church camp? On this ground, John Wesley preached years ago. Epworth, England is where John Wesley's from, and they named it Epworth by the Sea. John and Charles Wesley preached on this site. I didn't know it. And I went in, there's a little Episcopal church there now on the ground, built within the trees of where Wesley preached. And Liz and I saw it, and we had a little, and we said, let's go in and see this. It was so beautiful, quaint, small. And so we started in, and just we started, we noticed there was a sign that said 11:30 healing service. That's pretty good for an Episcopalian church. So we went in, and everybody was coming out. There was seven, I think, people there, six or seven, and they were all coming out. And I thought, well, it didn't take them long to get healed. It's 11:35, and it started at 11:30. I thought, what the world? And so they came out. I went in, and I saw the curator, and I asked her. I said, what's going on? She said, well, we were supposed to have a service, but the clergy didn't show up. And they were all senior adult women. I know what they'd come for. They'd come for some man of God to lay the hands on, pray for them. God to heal them. And they left church disappointed. I said, Lord, I wish I'd been here 10 minutes before this. I'd have told them, I said, I don't know much, but we'll pray. We'll ask God. And they left church disappointed. They probably wouldn't have let me pray because I didn't have an E by my name. I wasn't an Episcopalian. But I got a feeling if they'd have walked outside and we'd have got together and somebody was hurting, we'd have prayed. Because it's just been about Jesus. I told Liz, we got back in the car, I said, there is no telling how rich some of those ladies are, and they may have gone home right now and changed their will and wrote the church out of their will because nobody come pray for them. Never know. Partisanship. Dead. But look what he says in this text in Romans. This is the fourth death, and this is the one that deals with the fruit of the Spirit. We got to be dead to sin, dead to the world, dead to partisan spirit. But number four, in Romans 7:4, in Christ we are dead to the law. That's what he says right here in verse 4. Notice this. You were, verse 4, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law, dead to the law, through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another. You're dead to legalism, so you can be joined alive to the perfect law of liberty, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You see, friends, the manifestation that we need in our church is not what we do outside and external. It's what we do inside. You need to be filled with the Spirit. And in order to be filled with the Spirit, you've got to have a marriage certificate. You are passionately in love with Jesus. Number two, you've got to have a death certificate in that you have died to yourself. You have died to the law. You've died to your own spirit. You've died to the ways of this world, and you've died to sin. And when you are dead to those things, then you can be joined to Him and be alive by the perfect law of liberty. But there's a third certificate that needs to hang on the walls of your heart, not only a marriage certificate, not only a death certificate, it needs to be a service certificate. A service certificate. Notice it in verse number 6. But now we have been released from the law. Amen. Having died to that by which we were bound, so that we may what? Serve. So that we may serve. And how do we serve? We serve in the newness of the Spirit. Now I want you to hear me. Wake him up if he's next to you right now. I'm done. Just coming to conclude right now, but it's going to take me a minute to do it. What freezes the local Baptist church is that most people think we should imitate Christ. You cannot imitate Christ. Even Charlie Rangel in the Senate this week arguing about the budget asked this question on the House floor. Well, what would Jesus do? Some wag said he'd have paid his taxes on his house that he had outside America. See, the question is wrongly asked when we say, what would Jesus do? As if we could do it. You can't do what Jesus did. The question is not what would Jesus do and that we imitate Christ, but that we have the participation in Christ. You see, it is not us imitating Christ. It is Christ in us, and He participates through us. We have become partakers of Christ, Hebrews 3:14. We are partakers of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. John 7:36, 37, 38, and 39. In our innermost being, there are rivers of living water. And that He speaks of the Holy Spirit that is in us. That is our service certificate. It's not what we can do. It's what He does in us. But the only way He lives in us and through us is when we die to who we are and when we're married to who He is. And dear friend, when you're married to Jesus, He's the head of the family. When He's the head of your family, He says, we're going to live here. We're going to do that. We're going to give this. We're not going to do that. We're going here. We're going to refrain from that. We'll love him. We'll give over there. We'll be about the head of the family. And you are in submission unto him. That's why he uses the illustration here with the lady about her husband dying, so that we can have a new headship within our life. And when Jesus becomes the headship, then he rules the family, your family, my family. And we are dead to our own way, but alive only unto him. And when we are dead to ourselves and alive to him, his spirit resides within us, and it's whatever he wants, not what we want. And then his spirit begins to give us a service certificate through our life. And we become the very body of Christ. And when we are the body of Christ, then our hands are his hands. We work and welcome. That's why people coming in this. Where are the ushers that are in the back? I want to give some instruction to ushers right now. Okay? Ushers that are in the back, are they on the outside now? Okay? If you're listening outside, here's what I want you to know. We messed up this morning. I slipped outside during this service, and I went around over here to talk to somebody. Then when I came back, all of the ushers were on the inside. There was not one usher stationed outside. We need one usher inside, one usher outside during that time of the service. Why? Because when I came up, no one was there to say hello. No one was there to tell me to open the door. No one was there to greet. When I opened the door and came in, they were both standing inside. It's not their fault. We just hadn't explained it to them. So I'm explaining it to them right now. And it's a good teaching time. I'm not condemning them. They're there. They're faithful. They'll do whatever we ask them to do. We just need somebody. They swap each Sunday. Somebody to be on the outside, somebody on the inside, so that you greet those people that are late walking in. Now, nobody in this early service ever comes in late. It's at 11 o'clock. Crowd comes in late. Amen. But there were two or three others that were out there coming in with me, and I opened the door to let them in. They didn't know. You see, that's the way we are about. We are his hands, and we welcome, and we work. Not only are we his hands, but we find that as the body of Christ, we are his feet. We are beautiful feet. That's where we go, and we proclaim the gospel. We are his tongue. We speak the truth in love. We are his eyes, and we see the needs that are all around us. We are the arms that we hug the broken. We are the body of Christ. Here's my question. Any certificates hanging on you? Any certificate hanging on the wall of your heart today? How's your marriage to the head of our family? Are you passionate in love with Jesus? You say, preacher, I've never even been married to him. Oh, it'd be a great day to come. You say, what do you mean? You see, to get married to Jesus when you get saved. So when you ask him to be the head of your life, and you say, Lord, I come and I submit myself to you. I have young couples now, they'll come, they get ready to get married, and we'll talk about the vows. And boy, it's really an odd thing now that a woman will say, I want that submit word in there. You usually say, we don't want that submit word in there. I'm thinking to myself, in a few years, young man, you're going to wish you to put that in there. Well, it's in Ephesians. If it's good enough for Paul, it's a good word. But if I'm going to put the submit word in for her, I'm going to put the die word in for him. Amen. See, we submit unto the Lord because he died for us. Blessed be his name. Yes. When you ask Jesus to come into your life, friend, you're not just checking a box or wanting to go to heaven. You're leaving your old life and coming to him. I'll tell you this story and I'm done. I was preaching this weekend with Rick Corum, evangelist in his board meeting over at Epworth by the Sea. And about 300 people gathered there, and I met a young man who used to be a Las Vegas gambler. He started gambling when he was 12 years old. Started gambling at the country club when he was 12 years old. Started on a putting green at the country club. He saw those old boys in the back drinking liquor and driving Cadillacs, and he said, I want what they got. Became a professional golfer and finally a professional gambler, went to Las Vegas. Made millions. I noticed him when he walked in. Man, he had on clothes like I said, wow. He gave me his testimony, and I put it in the car and listened to it. He was a member of a Baptist church, lost all that time. He said, I went to give a gift to my pastor. I'd had a big win. I went by. I said, I never did go to church. I just thought the church might need a little something. I went by to hand him $3,000, and the pastor said, when are you going to get saved? He said, well, I'm a member of the church. He said, that wasn't a question. He said, when are you going to get saved? He said he was the only preacher that ever got honest enough for me to tell me that my lifestyle did not manifest Jesus, and there was no way I could be his. He said, I began to look at that, and he said, I cried out to God, and he saved me. He said, then I got hold of some Manly Beasley tapes, and God made me give away everything I had. He said, I gave away both my houses, all my money. He said, I had one van left. The only thing I got to keep was the clothes. All tailor-made. Now God made him a preacher. He crisscrosses this country. But he said, I'm going to tell you what happened to my life. Is the day I got down on my knees is I fell passionately in love with Jesus. What happened is he hung the marriage certificate on the wall of his heart. So a preacher looks like he could have kept that money. Well, he could have, but that's not what the head told him. His head told him, give it away because you got to learn to trust me for everything within your life. I'm telling you, that's the kind of passion we need within our churches. We need people that have fallen so passionate in love with Jesus, they trust him for everything in their life. And then they become his hands and his feet, his eyes, his arms. You got a marriage certificate today? Are you married to Jesus? If not, come today. The altar's open. You can get hitched today and know him. Is there a death certificate? Dead. To my ways, to my sin, to my work, to the law. Is there a service certificate? Is God using you in the manifestation of the power of the Spirit? You're here today and need Jesus come. You're here and need a church to serve in, come. You're here and need to renew your vows to the Lord, come. He ever waits to love you and lead you so the fruit of the Spirit can be in you and you be his. Father, have your way in my life. Help us be dead to us, but alive to you. And manifest yourself through us, I pray today. In Jesus' name, amen.